could have the greatest salespeople in the world, but if the people who you're talking to aren't decision makers and aren't your prospect, there's nothing that's going to make them buy or get them to buy.
We have a company in Calgary to talk about a product that we sell over the web.
Okay, over the web. What is the software product?
The software is a timesheet and expense reporting software. It automates the whole process.
Okay, is this your company?
Yeah, this is my company.
How long have you been in business?
Since 1996.
Okay, so it's not a startup company. You've been in business for a while, and how's it going?
Oh, it's wonderful.
Okay.
We would like to grow the company. You know, we are growing very slowly, and we are happy with it. But we think that we could do much more. For example, we get about 1,200 leads.
Okay, 1,200 leads a month.
A month, yes.
Okay, very good. And explain to me a little bit about the software.
Software is for timesheet and expense tracking. For example, a company could use it for tracking how people are spending their time, what projects are getting done, how much are the projects costing. Are we billing the client properly for these projects?
Okay, who's your main customer?
Okay, our main customers are either small and mid-sized companies or small departments within larger companies.
Okay, so the company, the small company, is using it to track projects being done by their employees and salespeople?
Just their employees, we don't focus much on sales.
Okay.
Project-based.
Okay, so just their employees. So the small company is trying to determine what it's costing them per project.
Yes, and also for us billing our clients properly.
Okay, is it billing software too that like an attorney would use?
Yes. You can use the information to bill your clients too.
Okay, I understand. Okay, and is it a software for the PC?
It's for the internet. You install it on your intranet server.
Okay.
And any number of employees will be able to access it and fill out their time and expense.
And is it something that the small company would require the employees to do?
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay. That ends up saving. Tell me what the benefits of having that software and implementing that system are for the company.
Okay, for the company is to track their project profitability. And also to track if their projects are on time.
Okay.
They can bill their clients faster so their cash flow increases.
Okay.
And also today a lot of people don't fill in their time properly. What happens is the organization ends up not collecting the money.
Okay.
You can prevent that.
Okay, so you're getting 1,200 leads. Are people filling out name, email address, mailing address, phone numbers?
Yes.
And what are you doing with those leads?
Okay, we have a telesales process, basically to follow up and close.
Okay.
And our close ratio is
3%.
3%? Yeah.
Let me ask you this. When someone fills out that information on your site, what do they promise? Why are they filling it out?
They are filling it out. The offer is a 14-day free trial of the software.
Okay.
They could use it 14 days full use.
Right. It's not a download, though. It connects them into the software on the Internet.
They could download it.
Okay.
They could download it, install it on their server, on their machine, and they'd be able to use it.
Okay, so it's a free trial offer of the software.
Yeah.
And you're converting only 3%.
Yeah.
Okay. And you'd like to do more.
Yes, we would like to do more.
Okay, so what happens? Someone downloads the software, and then do they get a follow-up telephone call?
Yes, they do get a follow-up telephone call.
When?
We follow up with them one per day for 14 days.
14 days, one phone call per day.
Yeah.
How much is the software cost if someone chose to buy it?
Our average user license is about 25 users, and it costs about $4,000.
Okay, so it's a high-end product.
It's probably in the software industry, probably somewhere in the mid-size.
Okay, 4,000, and is that your minimum license, 25?
Yes, our minimum license is 10, but on an average, people buy about 25 user license.
Okay, so that's $4,000.
Yes.
And you have Okay, the person who downloads it gets a call for 14 days.
Yes.
Is the person who's calling, obviously they're trained on the software and they can answer questions and show the person who downloaded it how to do it, right?
Yeah. Yes, what the process is, you follow up, you show a demo, you know, get their evaluation going, evaluation of our software going, answer any objections, and then close the deal.
Why isn't there a higher closing ratio? What do you think? 3% is pretty low.
Yeah.
What's the problem?
I think the sales process is not being followed consistently.
By your telemarketers?
Yes.
Okay.
Our average sales rep produces only 50% of the top sales reps.
Okay, gotcha. So your top sales rep, how many sales reps do you have?
We have 6.
Are they all in-house, like an inbound?
Yes, they're all in-house.
And your top guy is doing how much of the business for the whole company?
For the whole company, probably 20%.
He's doing 20% of the business.
Yeah.
But you have 6 people, so the other 5 are doing what?
The other 5 are doing...
8-9%?
Yeah, 8-9%.
Okay. What's your top guy doing that these other people aren't doing? He's working harder?
He is following the process consistently every day with every prospect.
Uh-huh. What do you pay your employees who do the telemarketing?
We pay a base salary plus a commission. Our top sales rep makes up to about 70 to 80K annually.
Uh-huh. And so you got a base salary, and what's the commission if they make a sale?
The commission is 4% of the revenue.
So on 4,000, it's 4%. What's 4% of 4,000?
Okay.
10% would be 400.
4,000.
10% would be 400. So it's about 200, a little under 200 bucks.
Yeah.
Now let me ask you this: once someone signs up with you and they pay 4,000 for the service, that's an unlimited use.
Yes, it's an unlimited use.
Do you have any back-end sales or secondary products that they can be sold, like training or anything like that? Tell me about that.
We can sell additional modules.
Additional modules?
Yes, additional modules.
Licenses?
Yes, additional licenses.
And how are those sold? Packets of 10?
Packets of 10, yes.
And what's a packet of 10 additional cost?
It's about $900.
Uh-huh. And what percentage are ordering additional?
About 30%.
Okay, 30%. Does the sales rep make money on that?
Yeah.
So he makes the 4% on that too?
No, he makes 2% on that.
Uh-huh. So your top sales guy is making around 70, 80,000, and your other sales reps are making?
They are making anywhere from 40 to 65.
So they must be fat and happy.
Yeah.
And you're telling me they're not really doing all their work?
Yes.
Okay. If you got the other sales reps to do what they were supposed to do, what do you think they could, if only that, let's look at incremental changes. If we can put a system in place and get your other employees to do what they need to do, what do you think that would mean for business?
We would have, 50% growth.
Okay. Are your sales reps, are they scripted or are they winging it?
Okay, the top sales rep is scripted.
Yeah.
Okay, the rest of them are, they are most of the time winging it.
Why aren't they scripted?
We are finding it difficult to get the sales process implemented, meaning that we are not able to get them to use the script every time.
Okay, well, what if you told them if they don't use the script, they're fired? I mean, who's working for who?
Yeah.
I mean, are you too nice?
Probably.
Okay. Let's toughen up. This is business. If they don't use the script, you're out of here. Because there's lots of people who have lost their jobs who would love to take their place, right? So I think this is a management issue. That one change could mean a lot of money. You know, and come on, they're making good money. I mean, they're sitting in a room doing telemarketing. It's not that demanding of a job, is it?
It's probably more...
Psychologically.
Yeah, psychologically it's not demanding, no. It's probably repetitive.
It's repetitive. What are their hours?
Their hours are, they work from 7 a.m. to 4 p.m.
Yeah, that's a long day on the phone.
Yeah.
Have you thought about maybe bringing in, do you have applicants for new telemarketing people? I mean, do you have other people who you could bring in? Like, let's say if you shorten the hours, you may want to shorten the hours so the intensity is better on the phone. Like, have a 7-to-1 or a 7-to-12 shift and then maybe a 12-to-4 shift. Because, I mean, that many hours on the phone is really tough. And if you brought in a fresh group of phone people, that may help you out.
Okay, so having a shift from 7 to 12 and then new shift from 12 to 4.
Yeah, and so could you, if these people perform, think about it. If these, you're paying them about $200 on an initial sale, what's the margins on one sale for your company?
One sale, it depends upon the sale. I think it's probably anywhere between 10 to 30%.
Net margin?
Yeah, net margin.
Isn't it a software interface? I mean, other than, I know you have costs with your company and stuff, but it's pretty much, it's not a hard product.
No, it's not.
So you got pretty high margins, right?
Yeah, after we pay out expenses, everything is in profit.
It's nice profit, yeah. And it, all the work's been done and it's set up, now you just need sales.
Yeah.
I mean, what if you did this? What if you cut their hours down, but paid them double the commission? So, you can approach them this way. You can give them more incentive to follow the script, to sell harder, have more energy, and make the same amount of money within half the time. Because you can afford it. If they just made one extra sale for your company, the margins are there to pay them an extra $200, you know? And then you bring in another shift and train them and start them fresh. And when you train them, you bring them in and you train them and say, this is how it is. You have a script that they have to follow for those 14 days. And even if they're reading it, you know, and what you can do is, I think training and finding super salespeople and programming them, you know, bringing them into your training system may be good for you because you can weed out all the people who aren't producing for you and find those superstar salespeople. And then if they can work half the time, they can go take the rest of the day off. Hey, as long as they're producing for you, right? I think that would be dramatic for you. They'll be fresher. It won't seem like such a long day. They can make more money. Even if you pay them the extra $200 on an extra maybe a 20% commission on a sale, that may give them more incentive to make the same amount in half the time. Because the bottom line is, your company is reliant on these salespeople. This is where the money comes from, right? Everything else is just an expense, correct?
Yeah.
So you may as well treat them like kings. And then your scripting, who designed the scripting for your top producer?
Myself and I brought in a sales consultant last year.
Okay.
We both designed it with input from our top sales rep.
Okay. And in your scripting, I don't know how detailed it is. Are there objections, ways to answer objections?
Yeah.
You've got all that in there?
Yeah.
And is it organized easily for someone to go to the, you know, if there's a question or an objection, they can go right to it?
We are revising that as we go along mm-hmm. to be able to access it quickly.
Is there software that can have the scripting in there?
Yes, there are software available. We haven't tried it.
Okay. Is all your salespeople sitting in front of computers?
Yes.
And, okay, so that's one link of your business right there. And that's the most important link. But there's also, well, that's one very important link. But there's also another link, and that's why your customers aren't buying. Now, but you said it's because your salespeople aren't following the script. But maybe it's something else. Do you have any other ideas of why someone who signs up for a free version, other than them not having time to look at the software, why they're not following through? Are they mostly people just looking for free downloads?
Okay, some of them are, but most of them are playing the waiting game. You know, they don't want to make a decision.
Mm-hmm.
Either it is time or they weren't able to get approval from their boss or they are still evaluating to see if the features meet their needs. It's mostly waiting.
It's mostly awaiting. They kind of like what you have, but
they are either too afraid to commit right now to buy the product and use it, you know, or they're unwilling.
Are they decision makers, these people who are doing free downloads?
No, they are not decision makers. We have a two-level process there
mm-hmm.
from a customer perspective. One is the technical person comes in and he evaluates, and then there is a decision maker who he goes to. we hardly get access to the decision makers, so we have to influence the
right. Right. These are just your leads that are coming in off the internet, correct? Is this 100% source of your leads?
Yes, yeah, 100% source of leads.
Okay. Sounds like to me, since you're only closing 3%, and aside from the fact that your salespeople, you know, you could have the greatest salespeople in the world, but if the people you're talking to aren't decision makers and aren't your prospect, there's nothing that's going to make them buy or get them to buy. You might be talking to the wrong people. So you may be getting a lot of downloads and a lot of free looky-loos, but those aren't the people who can make a decision. So another approach may be is some direct marketing directly to the decision makers. Who is your ideal decision maker? The owner or, I mean...
Small and mid-sized businesses is typically the owner of the company.
Okay.
But if it is within a large organization, a small group within a large organization, middle managers,
mm-hmm.
Department managers, sometimes it is the CFO or operations.
How easy is it to figure this software out for the average? Very easy.
Very easy. That's why USD. All packaged. You know, once we get them looking into the software, they are wild.
They are?
Yeah.
Okay, and what happens on the first follow-up? Hi, you downloaded our software. Were you able to get it loaded on the computer?
Yeah, they're able to get it loaded on the computer, and then we ask some qualifying questions on when do you want to implement this? Do you have is this an active project? Who's the decision maker? The standard questions, qualifying questions.
And if they're not a qualified prospect, do you call them back?
If it's not a qualified prospect, we move them in and we send a newsletter every month to them.
Okay. Here's an idea. I would take one of your telemarketers for maybe 2 or 3 days and have them do nothing but call customers who downloaded the software and to ask them, tell them you're doing research and you understand that they didn't buy the software and you want to know the reasons why. This should be their job for 2 or 3 days and have them write down all the reasons that they compile from all the different people they talked to of real reasons why they didn't follow through. Was it price? Was it too hard to understand? It didn't work with my system. My boss didn't want it. I'm just an employee here. I was just playing on the internet. I just like free downloads. Everything. Compile them. And I think that will give you very valuable information about your customers that are downloading your free software and some real insight into your business. And if you look at those reasons why, and realize that these people may not be my perfect market, then you may want to change your strategy in generating more qualified leads. Because imagine, you're dealing only 3% are buying, 97% of those people, all your resources of your company are talking to what we call dead wood.
Yeah.
Now that's expensive. You only want to deal with the most qualified prospect that you can. Just because they download something for free doesn't mean they're qualified. A good idea to weed out the dead wood is to charge somebody for the software, even if it's for $10.
Okay.
Do they have to put a credit card in for the free download?
No.
Or to offer a 30-day free trial where they have to commit a credit card number with an expiration date and their card won't be charged, you know, for 30 days, you know, unless you hear from them.
Okay.
So if you could qualify them better, then let's say you filter out 70% of the dead wood and you only have 30% of these leads, even though it's not 1,200, it may be 360, but they'll be more qualified and your salespeople, your numbers will jump through the roof. And think of all the money you're saving. You're not wasting phone time. You're not wasting salary time talking to dead wood. Now, that's just one idea from the leads coming through the internet. There's also a ton of different ways you can generate leads, multiple ways you can generate leads that are outside of the internet. But you have to determine you've determined a little bit who your market is, but now you need to get your USP and your sales message across to them in a different way other than the internet, maybe through email marketing, maybe through a joint venture relationship with another company who sells to the same customers you sell to. And what I tell people is, make a list of every other kind of vendor that sells to your business owner, maybe something that's non-competitive but related to what you do. And if you had a sales letter outlining all the reasons why someone should consider getting this software and have, let's say there was a company that sold these business owners, say, computer software that was unrelated to your software, and they endorsed your product. And they said, look, I usually don't endorse people, but there's a company here that's got some software that we learned about that can dramatically save your company money by organizing your billing systems. And, you know, I recommend you giving it a try. So it could be a referral from another company endorsing your product. So it's not coming from you saying, look how great we are, check our software out. It's coming from a trusted vendor that your business owner has already had an established relationship with and is buying from, and it's just like a referral. And it's much more powerful coming from a third party endorsing your product. Does that make sense? So if you wrote a list down of all the other types of vendors that are non-competing but relating, who could logically endorse your product and service, and set up relationships with them where you can pay them the commission, pay them the $200, and that's another source for generating leads and sales. Does that make sense? That can be very powerful. And all these things, I have, you know, the marketing materials from Jay Abraham. There's one thing after talking to you that really sticks out in my mind, and it's the PEQ program that Chet Holmes and Jay Abraham did together. I think it would be perfect for you because it's about systems, implementing systems within your organization, how to get a superstar salespeople. There's some great stuff in there. And it's a combination of Jay Abraham. I mean, it's more system-oriented, but I think it would fit well with you. And then, have you studied any Jay Abraham material?
No, I'm happy to reading his book.
Which book? The one from the bookstore?
Yes.
Okay. That's a good book. His stuff that he normally sells is a lot more detailed. Have you learned some things in the book?
Yeah, the way
to grow your business. Yeah, it's a real general overview, but if you want the meat of what that book's about in some of his more detailed programs, I have that stuff. How do you like to learn? Audio tape or written material or what?
I like both written material and some kind of coaching, actually.
A coaching program. Yeah. Okay. Well, I can help you in both those areas. I can help you with ongoing consulting, and I can help you with getting you the information on audio tape and written material. Let me ask you this. What kind of investment, where would you be comfortable in starting with some Jay Abraham and Chet Holmes material with some of the stuff I've been talking about?
For starting, since you're looking at sales, I'd like to start first on the sales project, so, you know, get the sales project implemented.
Okay.
The next step would probably be fixing the qualified needs. Like, can we use the position? Can we bring in other kind of decision makers into the sales process?
Okay.
Like that.
There's two things I'd recommend. I'd definitely recommend you start with the PEQ. And the PEQ is what I talked about, Jay Abraham and Chet Holmes. They're audio tapes. I think it's like 28 audio tapes or 25. I'm not exactly sure. And you can listen to those in the car on audio. And then I have something else. It's called the Sales Script Book. And it's by a guy named Dr. Donald Moyen. And he's the foremost psychologist in the psychology of sales. And you can use this. It has every single answer you can imagine to any objections you get from your prospects. And it is incredible. I mean, anything you can think of on all kinds of objections, it gives you word-for-word scripts that you can implement in your scripting to come back to your sales prospect as you're on the phone telemarketing them. He uses these scripts with some of the largest telemarketers in the country. They're proven answers to an objection that have been proven to be the most effective in generating sales. And I think that would be very valuable for you.
Did you know that I buy and pay cash for old marketing seminars? You may be a person who has a closet full of old marketing seminars just sitting there, waiting to be sold for cash. Well, if you do, I'm looking for Jay Abraham, Gary Halbert, old vintage marketing seminars, audio tapes, and books. And all you got to do is pick up the phone and call me or email me a list of what you have. I'll make you a cash offer on the spot, and you can turn some of that stuff that's just sitting there doing nothing into cash that you can reinvest in some of my other products on the site or to do whatever you want with. That's another tip from Michael Sinoff's HardToFindSeminars.com.